The Joe Mason Show is on in 5, 4, 4, 3, 3, 2, 2, 1, 1.
Welcome to the Phil Mason Show. I'm happy to have you here. We'll be here for the entire hour, and we'll talk nothing but National Basketball Association. Later on, David Ramil and I will talk about LeBron James, obviously, leaving the Heat, and I'm going to blast him because I've been waiting for a week to do so. And after that, well, J.A. Sherman will be here to talk all things Oklahoma City Thunder. But up first, San Antonio Spurs have basically put the band back together. And joining me to talk all about that and more, please welcome from PoundingTheRock.com, J.R. Wilco is in the house. J.R., how you doing? Welcome to the show.
Doing great. Thanks for having me, Phil.
It's my pleasure. Matt Bonner has re-signed, and that means the entire band is back together, right?
Well, it's not the entire band until Aaron Baines comes back, but did he get enough minutes last year for us to consider him part of the band? I don't know. I mean, if you're talking about everybody, no, not everybody, but everybody but Baines.
I'm not too worried about Baines, but Bonner's the Red Mamba. He's like a fan favorite, a cult hero, if you will. People like to whip on him, too, and I don't get that. he does a good job when he plays.
He became a whipping boy because he was being used a little bit outside of his wheelhouse. And since the Spurs hardly ever use anybody except directly in the very center of their wheelhouse, then it was easy to gripe about him because he was the only guy really that was being asked to do more than what he could do and do well. And that's why the Spurs work so well, is that it doesn't matter if the player can't do A, B, and C. They're elite at L and K and N. And so the Spurs won't put them in the A, B, and C positions to have to rely on those guys. They've got guys who can do A, B, and C. Let's get an L, K, and N guy in out there. And the problem was that Bonner wasn't very good at D, and that hurt him. But he's an elite floor stretcher, and he's an elite get in there 15 minutes, 12 minutes maybe a game, and cause the other team some lineup issues. It's great stretch four, and he's gotten better and better at defense. And so that's one of the reasons why he's a fan favorite. And it's also one of the reasons why he's not as griped about anymore, because over the last couple of years, the Spurs with the evolution of Tiago Splitter's game and his ability to get in there, and with Boris Diaw joining the team, and the way that he's come on over the last couple of years as well, especially in last year in 2013-14, then you have Bonner in the exact position where he should be, not starting. Not being the first big off the bench, but being the second, third big off the bench, and in spot duty as a starter when an extreme situation comes up like it did against Oklahoma City in the Western Conference Finals. So that's what he's best at, and being able to be used just where you're best at means that fans don't gripe about it. But Bonner's not the big news this week, man. It's Etuaro Messina. That's the headline.
I can't for the life of me figure out why.
You seriously don't? This is the future of the franchise, Phil.
That's what I figured.
This is the Pop once there is no more Pop. This is the guy that's going to be on the Spurs bench for the next 10 years. He's the last coach to coach Manu Ginobili professionally before Popovich. And this is an absolute genius mind from basketball. His his acumen and his system and his style are exactly what the Spurs are doing already. So what I expect to happen here is a good, 2-3 years of Pop just doing a brain dump, and to Messina to give him the Spurs thumbprint, the Spurs DNA, if you will, and then be ready to hand him off and be ready to leave, with Duncan or a year or two after Duncan and have no drop off. I mean, I fully expect there were two main huge issues beforehand. Who's going to be the superstar to come in once Duncan's gone? And can you get a superstar to come to San Antonio, or do you have to be at the bottom of the league for a year or two to get a good draft pick first? And it looks as though that question might have been answered with Kawhi Leonard. And then the second question is, okay, great, you got that solved. What are you going to do when Pop can't coach forever? Duncan can't play forever, and Pop can't coach forever. And getting Messina is, well, I mean, it doesn't solve it, but it looks as though it could be the solution because, I mean, from my point of view, from where I sit, this is the guy. This is the man that's absolutely going to be able to be Pop when there is no more Pop. And that's from an organizational standpoint, it's from a technical standpoint, from a coaching standpoint, from dealing with draft picks and evaluating guys for the system and being able to implement them and coach them up. And I mean, this is the best coach outside of any league besides the NBA, not just for a while, but for like the better part of the last 25 years. And he's an assistant coach on the Spurs as of now, as of this week.
Well, you said 10 years, right? Don't count on that. He's never stayed in one place more than four. Oh, I'm sorry. When he was in Bologna, he was there for, what, five seasons, four and a half? This guy doesn't stick around one place very long now.
Well, neither did Pop before he came to San Antonio. I mean, he doesn't have all that many years until he found the right place. And not every one of those exits, he's not like a Larry Brown type. Right, where he gets he just gets that wanderlust and has to bounce out. He was with the Lakers, and when Mike Brown was fired, they jettisoned all of their assistant coaches and consultants because that's where he was there. But this guy's unquestionable as far as his pedigree and his quality. And the Spurs have him on a multi-year contract. So it's not just, hey, let me do a year or two as an assistant here and then look for my next gig elsewhere. I would not be surprised if there was an understanding. Pop and Messina have had, a mutual admiration for a number of years. Messina's come to San Antonio a couple years ago, last year as well in the off season. This is a massive get. I think this is the best news since game five of the finals. Of all of the free agent signings, they're all great and fine. And I'm very glad all those guys are back. The Patty Mills, the Boris Diaw, all those huge, huge news. But this is the best news since game five.
You've led a very boring NBA life then from game five. If this is the best news for you. Ugh. He's no Greg Popovich. I have to stick up for your crazy coach. He's not even in the same league. This guy, I've watched him do his thing for many years. Sure, he's very technical. He knows what he's doing. But he jumps from place to place. And just because someone's under a contract as an assistant, we've seen that before, they disappear. I'm not saying that he will do that now. But I don't care for him very much. That is what it is. But he is a great coach, though. He really is. He did a good job with CSKA Moscow. I think he was the coach of Nikolates, if I'm not mistaken. I think that was where he was. No way, you know. Well, maybe he was. Maybe he was, but
pronounce his first name for me, because I want to make sure I get that. Is it Eder or is it Etoir?
Which man,
is
what I'm not certain what it is, because they only say Messina here.
There you go.
Because the only games when we see them play, it's in the EuroLeague, because he's never coached in Greece, obviously, and that's to his shame. He should be coaching Panathinaikos instead of the knucklehead they have now. But I only hear him say Messina. That's the only thing I've ever heard him say. But you know what? They don't really talk much about coaches here unless they suck. So, but honestly, we've seen him play a lot. And we've seen his teams here.
It's very different. I've heard him talk as well about the way that things are across the Atlantic. You know, here a guy can get a great contract for having great individual numbers, even if his team did poorly. And in Europe, if you were on a team that was successful, you get a better contract the second time. If you've got great stats on a losing team, so what? Your team lost. Why am I paying you money? And just the mindset, and to hear Messina talk about that mindset and the difference between the NBA and essentially the rest of the world it's just fascinating.
Well, it's like that in my sport too. You know, they don't even look at how you coach or what you've done or even how much your players have improved. If you don't win. I'm talking tennis.
Oh, I thought you were talking about fantasy sports. Oh, okay.
No, I'm sorry. In tennis, it's the same thing. I understand what he said when he talked in that press conference, because it's true. You know, even though Americans have a win-win thing, if you're working for someone like in the NBA or professional tennis or whatever, and your player is improving and you can see improvement, it's rare that you get fired. In Europe, they'd drop you like a hot potato. No question about it. And he's bounced around, like I said. It's an interesting acquisition. That was my first thought when they signed him, that he's the heir apparent. But nobody's going to replace that crazy coach of yours, dude. I'm sorry, but he is amazing what they've pulled off.
Yeah. Oh, I think it's obvious. I'm crazy excited about it, but I think no one replaces Pop. You're absolutely right about that. No one replaces Duncan. Kawhi plays a different position than Duncan does, and whoever comes after Pop is not going to sit in his chair. They'll change the chair, I'm sure. But I've been hoping that the Spurs would bring this guy across the pond for the last 2-3 years, and I could not be more excited.
You know, I always thought it would have been Budenholzer, to be honest with you. But then he bolted. That's who I always thought it would be. And I think that's who Popovich wanted it to be, right?
It always seemed that way to me. They never said word one about it. But it always seemed like Bud would be ready to step in and was either being groomed or had an understanding. And, you know, Pop said for years that as soon as Duncan retired, he would retire too. And Duncan kept on playing. And then he stopped saying that anymore. And he started saying, as long as I enjoy it. And I think either the understanding changed, or he eventually said to Bud, look, next time you get an offer that you like, I understand. And with just recognizing that he was ready to coach for longer than he thought he would. And there are still some Spurs fans who are of the persuasion that Coach Bud will come back when Pop leaves. And man, I just got to say, Bud is in Atlanta, and he's building his team in the Hawks. He's not going to bounce out just because the Spurs slot becomes available. You know, you got Danny Ferry there who's hired him, and without a doubt, Coach Bud is coaching that team for the long run, and it would be way more surprising. Shoot, I think there's a higher chance of Ime Udoka being the next Spurs coach after Popovich than Coach Bud, just because Budenholzer has a job as a head coach now, and there, that is his team. And It would have to be something crazy like Budenholzer being, Budenholzer being fired in the middle of a season, and then Popovich at that point retiring at the end of that season, and the Spurs reaching out to Bud. I mean, it would have to be something crazy like that in order for him to be the next coach of the Spurs.
Well, let me break it. I hate to break it to you. We got to bust this off, but Atlanta coaches don't stick around long. I think Budenholzer is going to be the next coach. I think he'd be better off. Anyway, JR, thank you so much for being on the show with me. Hopefully we'll see you next week.
Sounds good. Thanks for having me again.
All right, that was JR Wilco. You can find him at poundingtherock.com. Coming up next, David Ramil and I will talk about that carpetbagger, LeBron James. What a douche. And we'll be right back. You're listening to The Phil Nason Show.
The Phil Nason Show will return.
And it's the reason Al Gore invented the internet.
After these brief messages.
Central Portugal's only English-speaking information station, this is Epics Radio. Listen online, www.epicsradio.com.
Riveting talk radio.
People cannot get away from the internet.
Well,
no.
I think it probably comes from porn as well. You know what I mean? That's got to be a big, strong thing.
Oh, that's gross. That's disgusting.
And it freaks me out.
My cheeks are sealed.
We love talk radio.
Bend over, baby.
Do you see what I'm saying?
WeirdTalkSuperstation.com.
Better than sex.
I don't know how good sex is.
We're going to do a lot of drinking.
Talk radio. Bend over, baby.
That was great.
If you like baseball, you should be checking out baseballpodcasts.net. It's one of the best places you can go on the internet to listen to independent baseball talk shows 24 hours a day, 7 days a week on our radio player that can be heard around the world. So won't you tune in and give us a listen at baseballpodcasts.net. You can also listen to the great Phil Nason show here. See you there at baseballpodcasts.net.
Brewtown Sports is your source for Brewers news and notes. Join Mr. Brewtown as he keeps you up to date on all the happenings of your Milwaukee Brewers and Major League Baseball. Follow the show on Facebook and Twitter, Brewtown Sports. Listen 24/7 at brewtownsports.podomatic.com.
Been dreaming of that Greek vacation? Well, if you have, then you might want to check out the folks at the Aridi Grand Hotel, located in beautiful Corfu, Greece. Come experience world-class cuisine as well as the hospitality that Greece is legendary for at the Aridi Grand Hotel. You can find them at aridihotel.com or email them at reservations@aridihotel.com.
Do you know your fantasy sports? Would you like to make money at it? DraftStreet.com and The Phil Nason Show would like to help you get started making money playing fantasy sports today. And we'll even give you the chance to get started making money today for free. On me. That's right. All you have to do is head on over to philnasons.com or visit the show notes for this show. Click the Draft Street image at the top of the page and start making money playing fantasy sports at draftstreet.com today.
Hi, this is Phil Nasons from This Week in Tennis and The Phil Nasons Show. Max Sports Channels offers the best in sports talk radio, as well as great music 24 hours a day. It's my daily destination, and I hope it's yours. The sports talk begins each and every day at 3 p.m. and ends around 9 p.m. Special programming on the weekends. And in between all that, the hottest music on the internet. That's Max Sports Channels. Make it your daily destination.
You're listening to AFR, the Armed Forces Radio Network.
And now.
What a dope. What a maroon.
Back to the Phil Nason Show.
Welcome back to the Phil Nason Show. LeBron James has decided to take his talents and whatever else he's taken with him back to Cleveland. And joining me to talk all about that and more, please welcome from HotHotHoops.com, David Ramil is in the house. David, how you doing? Welcome to the show.
Thanks so much, Phil. I'm staying home and I'm staying with the Phil Nason show, so don't worry about it.
I'm not worried about that at all. You're a loyal guy. You're not a carpetbagger like some folks. And if you were going to leave, you would at least let me know. You wouldn't just let me wait until the last second.
Yeah, you'd find out by email, not by Twitter, so don't worry about it.
Well, I appreciate that because you know I don't pay too much attention to Twitter. So that's very kind of you. You know, when we were here last week at this time, you and I kind of put it together, but we thought it was almost impossible, or I should say improbable, that LeBron would leave. Now, I get the whole I want to go home thing. As you know, in my own personal life, I'm ready to do the same thing, but I'm going to let folks know first. Did you feel blindsided by this?
Absolutely. Even the morning of the announcement and the whole Sports Illustrated exclusive, I was convinced he was coming back, mostly because I thought that the Cleveland fan base had treated him so badly, had insulted him and his family. The ownership, had trashed him publicly. Everybody knows about Dan Gilbert's famous letter in Comic Sans and everything else. He's been widely ridiculed for that, so there's no need to go over it. But I really didn't think that LeBron, after everything that he had endured in 4 years, the way this organization had built something around him, had been stable, had supported him through everything that he'd undergone in 4 years, I didn't think he'd turn his back on that. So I was a little surprised, and I was beyond that. I was completely and totally blindsided, and I felt pretty miserable accordingly.
Well, I didn't feel miserable about it because I'm not a Heat fan, but I felt like this. You know, at first I bought the meta narrative that LeBron wanted us to buy and that it was all about coming home. And then when we saw the details of his contract where it was only 2 years with an option opt out after one, I started to think if this was really all about coming home, he would have signed a 4-year deal. But that's not what this was really about. And then I started to put it all together through the little Twitter things and the things that I was reading and Stephen A. Smith was saying. And then finally, I'm listening to Mike Ryan and Stu Gotts just go off on him. And then I finally put it all together. This guy had planned this for probably more than 2 years.
Yeah.
Jalen Rose on his podcast, he said, you know, while everyone is playing checkers, LeBron James is playing chess. And unfortunately, the pawns in this situation are the fans, both the Cleveland fans and the Miami Heat fans, the true fans of the Heat. The only I would say that the only fan base, maybe two, that legitimately do not like the Miami Heat are the Boston Celtics and the New York Knicks. I mean, I never thought of Heat fans as villains. I never really even thought of the Heat as villains. I thought of them as more like enemies because we were both after the same thing. And Unfortunately, you and my friend Surya and the good people that I've met along the way who are true, loyal, longtime Heat fans were portrayed as bandwagon jumpers, as villains, as hundreds of things. And it was unnecessary, and it was all orchestrated by one guy, LeBron James.
Yeah, I mean, you know, you and I have talked about this many times, and I've never really cared how people perceive the Miami Heat fan base, as incorrect as they've been and as maligned as they've been over the past 4 years when the lights shone brightest on every action that the team and its fans did. You know, you and I know that there have always been true Miami fans, and that's all that's ever really mattered to me. But you're right in that the things that we've heard, the way that his management team has been colluding with the Cleveland Cavaliers for years, he was, I think, just renting Miami to build his legacy, to win the championship so that everybody in the media would get off his back and prove that he could be a champion. He was and still is the best player in the game. And so you can't take anything that he's done, you know, as far as what his actions on the court are. But it seems like he was building up to this moment where he could just plan this. He's worked with Cleveland, and he knew all along that he was going back there. I had always assumed, I guess I bit into the bought into the Nash stuff because I thought, again, as he was supported by Miami during the first year here when he was the national villain, I thought he was building something that would be a long, long, long time coming. I thought he was going to be a part of Miami Heat culture for a while, and then eventually he might take the last year of his career just to kind of tie up those loose ends and be a Cleveland Cavalier again. I did never think that he was going to come back there at this point in his career, but it looks like he was waiting for this first opportunity for him to, you know, as soon as he saw that back door, he went right through it. And again, it feels good to the rest of the national media for him to say that he was just going home. But the reality was that he was just planning this, and it was really the best PR move that we could possibly expect from the most popular player in the game.
You're right. You know, how do you sit across from Pat Riley? How do you? I bet he got a kick out of making the legendary coach, Pat Riley, get on a plane, go to Las Vegas, and meet him. What is that? That's got to be one of the most arrogant, egotistical moves you can make, especially knowing that you've already made your decision. He did not pen that letter in one day. That was carefully orchestrated. He probably penned that thing a year ago. It probably took him 2 years. If you ever listen to him speak, well, there you go. Ever see him on Twitter? There you go. This was well done, well crafted, and it was orchestrated. And you know, I always wonder, and I've been wondering, I shouldn't say always, I've been wondering for the last couple of days, what that plane ride must have been like with Dwayne Wade, and if he even told Dwayne Wade before the rest of the world found out via Sports Illustrated.
Well, that's the story. It's come out since then that he did tell Wade during the plane ride that he's been working on it. But I mean, I think Wade hanging out in Las Vegas over the last few days, I think they already knew what was happening. I think they had already planned this. And because they are as close friends as they are, I guess this is just Dwayne's last opportunity to really spend some time with his friends without the whole media microscope being on him, because from that point forward, they would be considered, you know, enemies on the court. And so they can't really bond the way that they have over the last 4 years. They can't really spend as much time as they did. So yeah, I think Dwayne's perspective was he knew what was going to happen. He wanted to spend a little extra time with his friend before, you know, media and everything else forced them apart. And I think that was what that opportunity was. I think he just wanted to spend some time with his friend. And you have to assume that he knew what was going on. I've heard that he didn't tell Chris Bosh directly that he called him. But, you know, as we all know, Chris Bosh was in Asia or in Africa at some point. So I think he's probably been aware that this was what was going to happen. And so that's why he had his own management team work with the Houston Rockets as a possible free agent destination for him. So, what can you say? I mean, I think you're absolutely right. I think LeBron has orchestrated this for a while. I think there was some bad blood brewing there with Pat Riley. And you might be right in that he probably took a little bit of pleasure at kind of being deceitful to the great mastermind Riley, who prides himself as being acutely aware of what's happening, of being the smartest guy in the room, and being completely fooled by LeBron and his agent and best friend Rich Paul. So I mean, you're going to find out a lot of stories down the line if the media doesn't ignore this. You know, they might just cling to the more feel good narrative of him coming home and maybe getting a championship there in the next few years. That would make everybody much happier. But I think that if the media does its job and they have the opportunity to do so, they should start turning up rocks and looking what's under them, because there's probably going to be a lot of stories there showing how LeBron has been working in collusion with the Cleveland Cavaliers.
Well, I'm not buying the meta-narrative. There's no question about that. He gets no pass here. I was kind to him at first because, well, basically all I said was I get the coming home part. And I was really just waiting for the Miami Heat fan base, who I know are very loyal to my show on Fridays. They come in droves to let this guy have it. I can't believe that he pulled this off like he did. And here's what I'm going to tell you. If you folks in Cleveland think that he won't leave you again, you better think twice. If him and his little cronies from the hood don't get what they want from Dan Gilbert, and they probably will because they had the free reign of the place beforehand, they'll get it again.
Oh, yeah.
He's going to disappear. See, he wasn't able to do all those things with Pat Riley because Pat Riley doesn't buy it. He's not a punk. Pat Riley's a legend for a reason. He's a tough coach. I know people who played for him who who said he's one of the best people on earth. He believes in family. He believes in a team atmosphere. But he also believes there's a certain way you do things and a certain way you don't. And if you cross that line with me, screw you. And that's right. What I like about Pat Riley, even though he's in the wrong organization, of course.
Well, we're already seeing LeBron exercise some measure of control over the Cleveland Cavaliers. As of earlier today, we're seeing rumors that he's already pushing for this win now scenario and forcing Cleveland to trade their number one draft pick, Andrew Wiggins, in the hope of acquiring Kevin Love from Minnesota. So, you know, this was a guy who has largely been talked about as being untouchable. Trade talks broke down specifically because they wouldn't include Wiggins. And now LeBron's going in there and saying, man, I've got to get that ring and I've got to get it right now. And forget patience, forget the narrative and the letter where he said he wanted to eventually bring one championship to Cleveland. He's in win now mode and he's forcing Cleveland's hand to have the kind of control, the kind of power he never could in Miami.
Well, that's exactly right. If I'm Cleveland, I'm not trading Andrew Wiggins for Kevin Love, because Kevin Love is the same way LeBron is, only just not as talented. This is the new NBA, David. This is not your father, yours, and my NBA. This is a different kind of scenario, and this is a very strange one. But some other things make sense, too, like that vacation he took with James Jones and Ray Allen.
Yeah.
I bet you he told them he was going to Cleveland.
Yeah, more than likely. I mean, if their families are as close as they are, and that's the whole thing you have to keep in mind. I mean, and the fact that they're professionals, that they're, you know, multi-million-dollar athletes, et cetera, but they're still human beings. If you're, you know, contemplating taking a job for another organization within the next week, there's a very good chance you're going to tell some of your friends where you're going. You don't just pack up and leave and say, oh, by the way, I took a job at a rival organization. It just doesn't work out that way for humanity. And so you have to assume that Allen knew what was happening. But regardless, James Jones has followed LeBron to Cleveland, and it looks like Ray Allen either will retire or will follow suit. And we'll look for news over the next couple of days. But I think that would really be a terrible thing for me personally. I don't want to see Ray Allen join that Cavs organization. For Mike Miller to do it, that's one thing. For James Jones to do it, it's perfectly understandable. But I wouldn't want to see Ray Allen. Everything that he did, the way he saved our championship season last year, I don't want to see him join LeBron in Cleveland.
There's a reason I call him Judas Shuttlesworth. You know that, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
He's going to go there too, because he's the same way. He's just, again, not as talented as LeBron James is either. But he did make a big shot against the Spurs. Ray Allen, I've never liked him, never. But I've always loved watching him shoot, man. And it'd be interesting to see what happens. Mike Miller is a different issue. They amnestied him. And that's the other thing, too, is LeBron needed that win, that needed that money. And they dumped Mike Miller. And I think that was a silly move, too. But Miller going to Cleveland, it's okay. Now, apparently, he's, if you can believe the sources, and who knows who's putting those out, is that Miller's actively recruiting Ray Allen. I would say that LeBron already did that.
Yeah, you're right. It's just another one of those stories that you're going to hear about now where you feel that LeBron and the widening gap between him and Riley in the front office, you're going to find out much more about it in years to come, because apparently he'd been very upset with the move for Miller, although it made sense. And in hindsight, you could say we had no idea that Wade was going to miss as much time as he did. But I think he was very upset by the move. I guess there was a stronger friendship than we had ever seen in the general audience. And so I guess now he's had his revenge and he's brought him to Cleveland in the hopes of getting a title there. So we'll see what happens.
Well, they're not going to win a title there. LeBron can't win without his buddies. And when you talk about the buddy system, you know, he might have told James Jones and he may have told Ray Allen, but why didn't he tell his buddies, the ones who he colluded with in the first place, to come to Miami? It was all part of the game. If I'm Dwayne Wade, I'm treating that dude like Kevin Garnett treated Judas Shuttlesworth. I don't know your number. Who are you? You goofball. Now we're going to blow you out because this is a war. David, great stuff today. Thanks so much for being on the show, David.
Absolutely, Phil. You know I'll always be here to talk Heat Hoops with you.
I appreciate that, and I appreciate you. That was David Ramil. You can find him over at hothoops.com. Coming up next, J.A. Sherman and I will talk Oklahoma City Thunder hoops, and we'll be right back. You're listening to The Phil Nason Show.
The Phil Nason Show will return.
Next thing you know, they'll be on motorcycles and wearing them leather jackets and zooming around. They'll take over the whole town of Reign of Terror.
After these brief messages.
Riveting talk radio. Everybody
get up. People cannot get away from the internet.
Well,
now.
I think it probably comes from porn as well. You know what I mean? That's got to be a big, strong thing.
Oh, that's gross. That's disgusting.
And it freaks me out.
My cheeks are sealed.
We love talk radio.
Bend over, baby.
Do you see what I'm saying?
WeirdTalkSuperstation.com.
Better than sex.
I don't know how good sex is.
We're going to do a lot of drinking.
Dog radio. Bend over, baby. That was great.
If you like baseball, you should be checking out BaseballPodcasts.net. It's one of the best places you can go on the internet to listen to independent baseball talk shows. 24 hours a day, 7 days a week on our radio player that can be heard around the world. So won't you tune in and give us a listen at baseballpodcast.net. You can also listen to the great Phil Nason show here. See you there at baseballpodcast.net.
Central Portugal's only English-speaking information station, this is Epix Radio. Listen online, www.epixradio.com.
Stitcher Smart Radio is an award-winning, free mobile application that lets you listen to your favorite shows and discover the best of news, entertainment, and sports on demand. Now you don't even need a Wi-Fi or a cell connection to listen to shows like The Phil Nason Show. Never miss another show. It's real simple. Just go to Stitcher.com and download the free app today. And never miss another Phil Nason show.
Been dreaming of that Greek vacation? Well, if you have, then you might want to check out the folks at the Aridi Grand Hotel, located in beautiful Corfu, Greece. Come experience world-class cuisine as well as the hospitality that Greece is legendary for at the Aridi Grand Hotel. You can find them at aridihotel.com or email them at reservations@aridihotel.com.
Do you know your fantasy sports? Would you like to make money at it? DraftStreet.com and The Phil Nason Show would like to help you get started making money playing fantasy sports today. And we'll even give you the chance to get started making money today for free. On me. That's right. All you have to do is head on over to PhilNasons.com. Or visit the show notes for this show. Click the Draft Street image at the top of the page and start making money playing fantasy sports at DraftStreet.com today.
Hi, this is Phil Nason from This Week in Tennis and The Phil Nason Show. Max Sports Channels offers the best in sports talk radio as well as great music 24 hours a day. It's my daily destination, and I hope it's yours. The sports talk begins each and every day at 3 p.m. and ends around 9 p.m. Special programming on the weekends. And in between all that, the hottest music on the internet. That's Max Sports Channels. Make it your daily destination.
You're listening to AFR, the Armed Forces Radio Network.
And now, back to the Phil Nason Show.
Shut up! Shut up!
Yes! Shut up!
Shut up! You're telling me to shut up?
Please! Just shut up! I am so sick of hearing you talking all the time! Don't you ever just shut up!
Welcome back to the Phil Nason Show. The Oklahoma City Thunder are making moves. They want to win the Western Conference and represent the Western Conference in the NBA Finals. And joining me to talk all about their moves and lots of other fun stuff, please welcome from WelcomeToLoudCity.com, J.A. Sherman is in the house. J.A., how you doing? Welcome to the show.
Hey, Phil. It's good to be here talking about the Thunder. And the. It seems like the offseason is finally upon us now that we've got the draft out of the way. We've got the summer league out of the way. There's not a whole lot to look forward to except the small things that have been going on.
Exactly. Thankfully, LeBron has finally made his decision. He could have told us 2 years ago when he actually made it. But now everybody can move on, live on, and I hope you all enjoyed that second segment because I had a lot of fun doing that with David Ramil. I do not like LeBron James, and that's the end of that. Anthony Morrow is now a member of the Oklahoma City Thunder. What's up with him? Is that a good signing?
I think it's a really good signing. It's the one of the players that the Thunder had been targeting during the free agency period. The names that we saw coming up were Morrow and Mike Miller, who it looks like he's going to end up in Cleveland with LeBron. And Morrow, I think, was the right move, not just because he's a great shooter and he is one of the best shooters in the NBA from 3-point range, but also he's a lot younger and he doesn't have the injury history that Miller does. And so I think it's a really good bargain buy. They're getting him for 3 years at $10 million, which is a completely exceptional value if he's able to give them what they're looking for. And that is specifically not just 3-point shooting, but 3-point spacing. One of the things that the Thunder really had a hard time with in this past playoffs was that they did not have the 3-point shooters that were reliable enough to pull defenses away from doubling and tripling down on Kevin Durant. And because of that, he had a pretty subpar playoffs, in my opinion. And Derek Fisher wasn't getting it done. Jeremy Lamb was sort of an afterthought. Caron Butler eventually got DNPs. And Dabo Sefolosha is now in Atlanta. So I think that pretty much clears the deck for the Thunder to try and reinvent how they develop their 3-point offense. And Morrow is going to be at the center, one of the centerpieces of that.
I think you're right. You know what, though? They don't have to do much reinventing because they didn't really have one. They had Russell and Kevin chucking threes. That's their 3-point offense. And now with Anthony Morrow, you're right. He'll space the floor a little bit for you. And hopefully these guys can get him the ball. We'll give him the opportunity. Hopefully Scott Brooks recognizes this and implements an offense that looks like an offense.
Yeah. I think that really hits the nail on the head in the sense that there are a lot of competent shooters in the NBA, but there are not a lot of competent offenses that can put them in position where they can shoot open shots. And we saw clearly one of the best examples would be the Spurs in the playoffs, especially in the finals, where they were able to generate all sorts of open looks from a variety of spots on the floor. The Thunder have not been able to do that. And I tend to think that if they had done a better job just creating open looks for their shooters like Derek Fisher and Caron Butler, they would have had more success. But because their spacing can get so discombobulated with Durant and Westbrook occupying too much of the same court space at the same time, it really throws their spacing out of whack. And so I think they need to get back to the basics on how each player has their own gravitational pull. And when you put two large objects next to each other, there's going to be too many players around and not enough space around the rest of the court in order for those shooters to be able to get clean looks.
You know, you're right. I've always believed that you put the right guy in the right system and they can dominate. Look at Danny Green.
Yep.
Danny Green doesn't get off the bench.
We go. You're Danny Green ranting here.
I'm not going to Danny Green rant. What I'm going to tell you is the truth. I mean, he gets those wide open looks because he's in a system design that he fits for. I mean, yep. He's a perfect fit for that. If he was in Oklahoma City, no one would even know about him other than dancing Danny Green. I mean, it's just that's how it works.
Yeah.
Now, and Morrow, it would be the same kind of candidate. If he's in the right system and if Scott Brooks recognizes this, and I'm not convinced that he will be able to, by the way, Morrow's going to have a good year. That's what it's all about, putting the right players in the right system, in the right situation, and hoping that they can excel. And if you give Morrow open looks like you got, like, for example, Danny Green in San Antonio, you're going to see 40% threes.
Yep.
Because the guy can shoot. I mean, I'm not insulting Danny Green. I'm telling the truth. If yeah. Danny Green were still in Cleveland, Danny Green would be asking if you want fries with that, because he would be like with the vendors.
I mean,
it's just the way it is. Systems matter. And, and that's the whole issue that I try to point it out on several occasions. I'm glad that you recognized it, and I appreciate it. Now, Sebastian Telfair.
Yes.
Oh, boy. That ought to be good. Go ahead.
Here's what we have to remember. He's going to be the third string point guard, and he's going to be asked to do third string point guard duties. Okay. Once we put him in that context, his ceiling is pretty low. He doesn't have a really high hurdle to jump over. If he can contribute 8 to 10 minutes a night without screwing things up too badly, and occasionally put a little bit of spark in the second unit when they need it, I think that's a bargain, because they're not shelling out a whole lot of money for him, and his performance hasn't really warranted it anyway. So I think it's a good value pick, and obviously people are going to focus on his shortcomings over the length of his career thus far, and it's hard to get away from that. But when you say, what are we at really asking from this guy? I don't think it's going to be that much, especially because Reggie Jackson's going to get the majority of those second unit point guard minutes. Now, but what do we have with this guy? Well, we know that we've got the guy who's come into the NBA with a lot of hype. He had the playground legend status. He's a cousin of Stephon Marbury. Yeah, he was drafted by the Portland Trail Blazers, and he's never really found his groove. And I think what that really shows us is that coaching matters, and coaching point guards really, really matters. Because in this current age of the NBA, offenses and defenses are way too complicated to be able to just come in as a really green point guard and expect to have any kind of success. The defenses are way too complex. They know how to really throttle young players who aren't ready to make quick decisions in the right spots on the court. And he's never really had that kind of coaching. He forewent college, so he never got the coaching there. He hasn't really found himself in a good professional setting where he's getting good coaching. We thought he might have gotten that with Mo Cheeks, but that didn't seem to pan out. And so he's really a cautionary tale, not just of whether or not it's right to come in early to the NBA, but how crucial it is for the point guard position to fall into the right kind of situation where he can actually learn how to run an offense.
He ain't going to learn it there. He ain't going to learn it in Oklahoma City, but you know what? What he could wind up doing is taking his skinny behind, like his cousin Stephon Marbury, to China, and he'll have a statue erected next to Stephon.
I don't know. I think you're shortcoming Scott Brooks. I mean, he was a point guard back in the day, and I think he's done pretty well with Westbrook and Jackson. So I don't think I would write his coaching of point guards off quite so quickly.
Well, that's what an assistant coach does, not a head coach. We need a head coach in Oklahoma City who will run an offense. And let Scott Brooks be the point guard coach.
Okay.
But I think you need a more than a Scott Brooks to help Sebastian Telfair. But that's just me. I like the playground legends, though, man. I love those guys.
Yeah.
Love those guys. I love going to Rucker and watching these guys do their thing and then going out there and trying to stop them, which was never fun. But you know what? He might be all right. And like you said, 8 to 10 minutes a game. And if he does pan out, there's a possibility that this will free Oklahoma City, because we know they don't want to spend any money. We want a trade, and Reggie Jackson may be that candidate at the trade deadline. You never know. Now, this kind of leads me to the question that one of our listeners have for you.
Okay.
A listener wanted to know why top free agents like Paul Gasol don't seem to want to sign for Oklahoma City. Why do you think that is?
Well, I think in the case of Paul Gasol, it came down to two things. I think it came down to money. The Thunder would have had to clear some cap space in order to sign him. And as it turns out, it looks like the Chicago Bulls had a slightly better offer. They end up paying him a little bit more than $7 million a year. He still took a huge haircut on his overall salary. He was making $19 million a year ago. So that's a pretty steep cut to go and join a team that isn't necessarily guaranteed to make it to the Eastern Conference Finals. So so that was certainly in play. But also, one of the things that I did read from guys like Zach Lowe, I believe, at Grantland, is that for most players, the culture of a city doesn't matter a whole lot. One court's the same as all the others. But for a guy like Gasol, it actually does. And one of the things that he wanted to address with Scott Brooks when the two of them met was, what kind of cultural life does Oklahoma City have for a guy like him, an international player, an international person who wants to experience the culture of a country? And for better or for worse, there was no real good sell there. And we could see in the comments that were offered about that situation, that even native Thunder fans tended to agree with that. And so I think that was kind of going against him as well. It's unfortunate, because I really felt like the Thunder situation would have been very good for Gasol, because not only would have he been on a contender, but he would have been able to help them get to that next level in terms of offensive efficiency. But that's okay. He would have been a nice player to add, but he was not the guy that the Thunder needed. The guy that the Thunder needed in the offseason was a guy like Morrow, and they got the guy that they needed. And they picked up a third-string point guard. They drafted a power forward in Mitch McGarry. So they got everything that they really needed to fill during this offseason. And so from that perspective, I'm not too shaken up that Gasol did not come to Oklahoma City.
Mitch McGarry is going to be a beast.
Yeah, I like him. I like him a lot.
You, I like him from the first time I saw him play at Michigan. What a motor. He has a very unique game. You know what? I understand that. You know, when you talk about cultural experiences,
yeah,
it's a lot easier to be able to choose those things when you've got $100 million in the bank and you're from Spain, where $100 million goes a long way.
Yeah.
You know, I understand what he's saying, but he's kind of dissing Oklahoma City too, you know, a little bit. I think it has more to do with – I think it's just a nice way of saying, I'm not playing for Scott Brooks. I'll play for Tom Thibodeau before I play for Scott Brooks. Heck, yeah, I might even play for Jason Kidd before I play with Scott Brooks. At least Jason Kidd knows how to set up an offense. Yeah. And I have to continue to be consistent about this. You know me. I have to be consistent.
Yeah.
But I do like what the Thunder has done in this offseason. The McGarry draft, that was a steal. If this kid stays healthy, that's a steal. If they put a system together, Morrow's going to have a very good year. And if Sebastian Telfair can get his head out of his derriere and pick up some tips from the legendary point guard coach Scott Brooks,
yeah,
then this is going to be a perfect season, right?
Yeah, and if Telfair does prove to be better than advertised, it creates all sorts of really interesting matchup possibilities for the Thunder, because you could move Jackson to the starting lineup, you could put Lamb there, you could put Perry Jones there, and not worry about your second unit having a no direction. And I could imagine that if you had Jackson and Westbrook in the backcourt together, you can create all sorts of problems against a variety of teams. And so there's some real opportunity there for him to salvage something of his career this late stage.
Yep, and salvage is a very good word. I don't think that even Fred Sanford could salvage this.
Nice reference.
But then again, you never know. J.A., thanks for being on the show today. Great stuff.
Thank you, sir.
All right, that was J.A. Sherman. You can find him at welcometoloudcity.com. And that's going to wrap it up for today's Phil Nason Show. I want to thank all the guys for making this an amazing day of NBA sports talk. Until next time, y'all take care of yourselves. Be good. And most importantly,
ladies and gentlemen, my mother thanks you. My father thanks you. My sister thanks you. And I thank you.